Welcome to Sunday Conversations. I'm your host, Michael Soul, filling in for Teddy Reese. And thank you for taking time out of your day to listen. And we pray on this Resurrection Easter Sunday that you and your family and your loved ones are doing well and are safe, especially now as we are all going through the coronavirus pandemic. It is something that is touching and has touched everyone on the entire earth. So no matter if you're in Georgia or Alabama or even Alaska or even overseas, as we have our extended military family who may have touched down and been stationed at Fort Benning and have come this way, we are all facing this deadly virus. Today's show is dedicated to our first responders and those who are on the front lines every day taking care of the sick and our elderly, putting their lives at risk to take care of those who are sick and our elderly. Today's show is also dedicated to the families and those who have lost loved ones from this deadly virus. We pray for your comfort and peace as we go through the ordeal of now having to bury our loved ones and family members. Today, we are going to focus on solutions and effective coping mechanisms of ways that you and I can get through the coronavirus. We're going to talk about how to manage the state of our minds and focus on not just the past, but also the present realities and a not-so-certain future. We deliver this show with hope, the hope that those who are listening will be inspired, motivated, informed, and empowered to continue our lives through this new normal. And now, without further ado or delay, let us get into this week's edition of Sunday Conversations. Welcome to Sunday Conversations, and we are going to get into our first conversation on this Easter Resurrection Sunday. And I pray everyone is having a wonderful Easter and enjoying time with your family as we all go through the coronavirus together. As you know, the stay-at-home order is in full effect, and if you don't have to be out, then we want you right where you are, at home, enjoying your family. But as we go through the coronavirus, and we are in it now, full force, whether you live in Georgia, whether you live in Alabama, we are all in this, and we are all going through it together. We're going to have a conversation with a young lady who definitely has some experience in helping us to cope with the coronavirus and staying in shelter. Her name is Terry Hall. She's a licensed professional counselor and been doing that since 2010. She's currently pursuing her PhD in psychology. She works full-time as a military and family life counselor on Fort Benning and part-time as a licensed counselor at Resolutions Counseling Service. Terry is also the founder and CEO of a nonprofit, A Better Me of Columbus, which provides mentorship to boys and girls ages 10 to 17. She's also a member of Faith Worship Center International, where she holds the title of a licensed minister. And Terry is the proud mother of two daughters and a member of the Columbus, Georgia Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome our very special guest today on Sunday Conversations, Ms. Terry Hall. Terry, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to, of course, to talk to our listeners on all of our stations about the coronavirus. I first noticed the article that was on, I think, WRBL's site. I first noticed the article where you were interviewed by the television station and gave some good information, some helpful information on how we all can get through the coronavirus. But first, before we get into that, talk a little bit about your experience as we read your bio there. Talk about your experience, though, as a counselor and why you chose to go into this field.
Well, let me just say this. First of all, thank you for caring enough about the people in your community for having me on to try to help people navigate through this pandemic that we're all experiencing. One thing about it, what's going on now, everyone is affected by it. The rich, poor, middle class, black, white, famous or non-famous. So basically, we all need one another to help try to get through this time right now. So thank you for caring enough about others to try to give them some coping strategies.
So as you've been in counseling for literally about 20 years, but why did you choose to go into this field?
I have a heart for the people. When I was growing up, I always said that I wanted to be a pediatric nurse because I love babies. But once I took my first anatomy class, I was like, I'm not sure if nursing is what I would like to pursue. And so, like I said, I've always had a passion for people, helping people, trying to help people be the very best version of themselves as they possibly can be. So that's when I entered nursing. I started out working at West Central Georgia Regional Hospital, like in the visitor center. Then I moved up to working on the units and stuff. And so then I left there, went to New Horizons and worked. They provided me a great foundation of mental health. I left there, went to the Aaron Cone RYBC and served as a mental health counselor. I went to Rutledge State Prison as a level 3 mental health counselor, and now I'm on Fort Benning. So counseling is something that I am very passionate about. Not that I have all the answers, because I don't, but I have a heart for the people.
Wow. I'm in awe, first of all, because you've hit just about every sector of our community, from West Central to New Horizons to working with youth at the RYDC, our military family as well. As you know, you right here with one of the second largest military base in America at Fort Benning, a lot of experience there. Let's talk now, as we are all going through, as you said, the coronavirus and trying to navigate our way through it. Let me ask you personally, though, when did you know that this was real and this was very serious here in the United States?
Well, it probably really dawned on me probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, when it first came about, I don't think a lot of people were taking it very seriously because, you know, it was in China or in other places. And now it has hit home to our community, Columbus, Harris County, Phoenix City, the surrounding areas. It's become more real to everyone. And I can personally say I have had family members that have been diagnosed with the virus. Fortunately, they have, you know, they've come out on the other side, so they were able to try to, they're better. They're not out of the woods, but they're better. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know people personally that have been affected by this virus. And, you know, it's serious. These are serious times. These are very uncertain times for many people. However, and I don't want to preach, but even though these times are uncertain, you know, there's a certain God or a certain higher power. And at this point, he's the only answer. He's the only one that can bring us through this, because there's not a vaccine or anything. We're living off prayers. We're living off our grandmother's prayers and everybody's prayers. So these are tough times, but in spite of them being tough times, we can appropriately cope with these times. It's not the end. Things will get better. When? No one can say that, but we have to have a positive perspective or outlook on things, because our outlook on things determines a lot. Our mind is a very powerful muscle. And so when we feed it with positivity, then usually we have positive outcomes. It's when that we allow situations and circumstances to overwhelm us to the point that's when we don't do so well. And so I just encourage everybody, you know, be informed about what's going on, but don't be so consumed with what's being stated, media, social media, or whatever. Yes, know what's going on in your community, but don't let it affect you to the point where you are experiencing depression, anxiety, and things of that nature. And yes, your emotions and your feelings are valid, but there are appropriate ways that we can cope with those feelings.
We're going to go there, too. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, you're listening to Sunday Conversations. Our special guest today is Terry Hall, licensed professional counselor here in the Tri-City area. Terry, I don't want you to feel any type of way about preaching. First of all, this is Easter Sunday. Okay. So if we got to give thanks and recognize the Lord, we can do that today on Easter Resurrection Sunday. So I don't want you to feel any type of way about that. But let me jump into a few of the questions that I have for you, because there are people with pre-existing mental health conditions like mm-hmm. anxiety and substance abuse. What should people with pre-existing mental health conditions be mindful of, or those triggers, as we say, during this pandemic?
Well, I suggest that they continue to see their physician, even if it's telehealth or telemental health. I have also moved to telemental health, where I'm not going into the office to see clients. I'm seeing them via Zoom. But I would suggest that they continue to keep their appointments, continue to comply with their medications, and try not to use negative coping strategies, i.e. drinking, drugs. You know, a lot of times those are coping strategies for many people. They're not the most positive coping strategies, so I do not recommend them. But try to stay away from things that you know are your weaknesses. And yes, we all have certain triggers. We all feel, you know, we're human. So we do have feelings, but what we have to try to do is to process those feelings in a positive way and implement positive strategies. So for someone that has a pre-existing mental health issue or substance abuse issue, if these times that we are going through is adding extra pressure to you, then I say step back. Don't be so engaged in social media, because if you look down your timeline, just about everybody is posting about COVID-19. If you turn on your television, it's always something about the virus. And so I think they need to step back, or we all could benefit from stepping back from and not being so engaged, not allowing all the negativity to feed into our spirit. We should try to do positive things like pray. I'm a big prayer. Prayer, meditate. Those are positive coping strategies. Basically, feeding your spirit with positive things, whether it's uplifting, soothing music, or having positive conversations, not being so engulfed in the negativity, because that will bring anybody down. But specifically those that have pre-existing conditions, try to not become so engulfed in the negativity. Surround yourself with positive people that are able to support you during this time. And just continue to comply with your appointments and or your medication.
We're talking once again with Terry Hall, licensed professional counselor here in the Tri-City area, about coping as we go through the coronavirus and dealing with all the stress. Terry, as you're talking not only with people who you are seeing, but hearing conversations, where do you think a large part of the anxiety comes from? Is it the fear of the virus, or shelter in place, or social distancing, or, as you said, the uncertainty of the times? What feedback are you getting?
Well, primarily the feedback I'm getting is basically the shelter in place and the social distancing. you know, being told that you can't go out unless you absolutely need something, or when you do go out, you have to stand 6 feet away from others. You know, we have a lot of extrovert people that are used to going whenever they want to, wherever they want to, and gathering with whomever. And so now for that to just come to a halt, like almost immediately, you know, it's a lot for anyone to adjust. A lot of people are complaining about not being able to get their hair done or nails done or eyebrows. And for me, I think that we can all stand to look at the bigger picture of things. Yes, those are things that we like to get done, but we must follow the recommendation of those of our leaders and those that are in charge to try to protect ourselves. Because what good is it for me to have a nice hairdo and I'm laying in a bed sick? So I think, you know, that's the main thing that I've been hearing, not be able to get out and to do a lot of the things that we're accustomed to doing, and basically limiting the contact with people. And like I said, you know, everybody is different. Everybody's feelings are important. But a lot of times we have to look at the bigger picture of things. And once we look at the bigger picture of things, then we will appreciate some of these things that have been put in place because they're a way to help keep us safe, to keep our family safe.
Now we want to talk about children and teens, and children and teens can also be impacted by the pandemic based on what they see or hear from adults in the media. What can parents do to support their children who may be affected?
Well, I think it's very important that, you know, we spend as much quality time with our family as we possibly can, especially our children. Our children are accustomed to going to school daily, whether they like it or not. They're accustomed to engaging in certain, you know, extracurricular activities. And to have that end abruptly, you know, it has an impact on them as well. So I think we as parents, we have to pay close attention to our children during this time, especially the seniors. They aren't able to graduate the traditional way. We don't know if they'll be able to have a prom or not. So they're missing out on a lot of things as well. So not just is it affecting us as parents or as adults, it's also affecting our children. So I think it would be great to do like a check-in with your children, you know, just to see where they are. And it doesn't have to be a hard conversation, but just, you know, sit around. I recommend no distractions, no cell phones, no TVs, no games, and just, you know, do a check-in. Well, how are you today? How are you feeling today? What are your thoughts about what's going on? What are your thoughts about not being able to, you know, meet up with your friends or hang out with your friends or attend school and stuff like that? It's very important that we do that check-in. A lot of adolescents, they aren't that forthcoming with their feelings. And so now is where we as parents have to make sure that we do our due diligence and check on them because they may not come and check in with us.
Again, our guest on Sunday Conversation, Terry Hall, licensed professional counselor. Thank you for that, Terry, because I have a senior, a daughter, and when she got the news that school was canceled for the rest of the year, she definitely shed a tear. Again, we had to listen to her and let her express her feelings. And then of course, she bounced right back because the very next week, there was some communication that went out as far as seniors and them actually participating in this fourth 9 weeks. And if they were satisfied with their grades up through the third 9 weeks, they could opt out. And so you already know my daughter opted out. She said, I'm good, dad, I'm done. So we got through that one, but I definitely, you hit on prom, and she was definitely starting to look for a prom dress and, you know, and get ready for that. So yeah, that one right there really, really rocked her.
And just think, most of us have not experienced anything like this to this magnitude.
Right.
And so we're adults. So how do we think it's affecting our children? I mean, they don't know what's going on. And then if they see us as parents, you know, acting a certain way, then, you know, that creates certain anxiety for them because a lot of times our children look up to us as parents. And so they're watching us even when we aren't aware that they're watching us. And so I think that's why, like I said, you know, we're all entitled to feel. We're human. So we will all have feelings about this. But I just think that, you know, we should try to cope with it as positively as we possibly can. Because if we're in an uproar or a tizzy, then, you know, that can potentially affect how our children view things. And we don't want them to feel a certain kind of way or lose hope on things. So we have to remain hopeful in spite of.
We're talking once again with Terry Hall, licensed professional counselor. Terry, I'm gonna switch up on you right here because as you were talking, I was thinking about how the coronavirus has disproportionately affected the Black community. And I was watching CNN the other day, and they were given the numbers, which were just astonishing, how in Louisiana you have 32% of the population that is Black. And of the deaths in Louisiana, 70% of the deaths are of the black community. And then the same, a similar situation in New York, where you have about 14% of the population, but now 41% of the deaths. Does that coincide with how we view mental health in the black community as well? And why, you know, we just like we won't go to the doctor, we won't see about our mental health?
The statistics are alarming. And so I think, so let me just say this. You know, I have heard some people try to say, you know, it's a black-white thing. Well, with this, I don't necessarily think it's a black or white thing, because, you know, no one is exempt from this.
Right.
But, you know, to my understanding, whether someone has like a pre-existing condition, then that kind of increases your chances of getting the virus. And, you know, I love my people, but, you know, sometimes we just won't take care of ourselves.
Right.
You know, we eat whatever. we don't work out. You know, not all. So I don't want to make that generalization. But I do want to say that, you know, some of us, you know, don't consider our health, you know. And so we don't eat right. We don't exercise. We don't go to the doctor. You know, I think there's kind of like a stigma surrounding going to the doctor or addressing mental health issues. You know, I've heard before that, you know, just pray about it and everything will be okay. You know, you can eat whatever you want to eat, but you pray about it and it'll be okay. Or you can have these different symptoms, pray about it and it'll be okay. And I'm the first one to say that there is power in prayer. And prayer changes a lot of things. But I also believe that faith without works is dead. So we have to do our due diligence in helping God to help us. So I'm not sure if, you know, the reason that it's so high amongst us African Americans is because a lot of us have pre-existing conditions. But I just hope that moving forward that we'll all get a different viewpoint on addressing issues concerning our physical health, our mental health, spiritual health, our overall well-being.
Thank you for saying that, because, yes, faith without works is dead. I totally agree with you. And when it comes to the coronavirus, and I want to interject right here, everyone, because, again, we at Davis Broadcasting are going to continue to update you from the CDC, our national government, our local and state officials. So, again, we encourage you to stay at home. Follow those directions. We encourage you to practice safe social distancing. We encourage you to wash your hands. And lately, Terry, I'm encouraging everyone to wear a mask when you have to go out in public, because, again, that's how the virus is spreading as well. And if we want to flatten this curve, then we've got to put some works along with our faith as well.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate you saying that. Now, as we get ready to wrap up and we talk about works and faith, let's talk about the works that should happen for us when caring for our mental health and the fact that it really doesn't have to be complex. What are some easy tips to manage stress and anxiety during this COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, I'm a big advocate of prayer. And I know, you know, everybody may not believe in the power of prayer, but I say meditate. You know, get away, clear your thoughts, clear your mind, and focus on something positive. But for me, it's prayer. You know, prayer can do things that nobody else can. And so prayer, meditation, get out and do some exercise. I know a lot of the gyms are doing virtual training, but, you know, if you don't have a membership or have accessibility to that, then get out of your neighborhood. Walk your neighborhood, put on your mask, put on your gloves, and go walk in your neighborhood. Or now's a good time to, you know, plant flowers, plant a garden. Just go outside, get some vitamin D, you know, or stay in your home, do some jumping jacks, push up, but just make sure that you're being physical and not just sitting at home. And I know a lot of us, and I'm guilty of, you know, overindulging. And
okay.
So just get to moving. And so once you move and get energized, then your mood will start to change. So once again, prayer, meditation, exercise, planting a garden or flowers, reading something that's uplifting, something that will take your mind away from what's all going on in the world. Limit your social media usage, or limit the amount of information that you take in regarding this virus. Like I said, stay informed, but don't let it be an all-day, everyday thing where you're concentrating and the only news that you're taking in is negative. That's not good for anybody. Spend quality time with your family. You know, a lot of people are frustrated about being shut in or having shelter in place, but you're at home with your loved ones. You're at home with some of the most important people that, you know, you can ever encounter. So spend quality time with them. Like I said, minus the distractions. I say have a family meal together, do a game day, watch a movie, or like I said, shut off everything and just sit down and talk and really get to know one another. Listen to music. Listen to soothing, uplifting music, something that will kind of calm your spirit, you know, like, and try not to engage in all the negative conversations, you know, negative in, negative in, negative out. So basically, you know, engage in positive activities, you know, and I like to say, practice gratefulness. You know, things are, they are a certain way right now. But we have to be mindful that although things are as they are, they could be so, so much worse. And so we have to practice being grateful. Like I said, when we change our outlook on things, then our mood itself changes. So in lieu of what's going on, still be grateful. Yes, we're in shelter in place, but we have a shelter to be in place in. We have food. We have our basic needs. Now, we may not have everything we want right now, but we have everything we need. And to me, that's enough to be grateful for. So limit the alcohol intake, substance use, limit that. Just basically engage in positive activities, drawing, journaling, like get a journal or get some paper and thoughts and feelings that you have, put them on paper. You know, a lot of times a person, once they're able to get things out and not have to hold it in so much, they tend to feel better. I love to color. So color, get some of your children's color book. That's an activity that you all can do together. Do some color sheets. You can download them from online if you don't have a coloring book at home. But journal, write. This is a good time to do self-reflection. You know, none of us are perfect, and we all have room for improvement. So now that we're in and life isn't so busy, now is a good time to self-reflect. This is a good time to perfect your craft. If you have something that you're passionate about, now it's time for you to do the research on those things so that when this blows over, because it will, then you can come out. You'll already be ready. You will have studied. You know, you'll be ready to implement your plan. Set short-term, long-term goals. You know, this is a good time to strategize your next move. So we don't have to be complacent during the shelter in place. There's a lot of positive things that we can do that can still help us progress as individuals.
Amen. Amen. Terry, I want to thank you for being on Sunday Conversations with us today. Thank you so much for your service to our community as well. Not just the people that you see, but to our entire community. As a member of Delta Sigma Theta, I see you there. You're working as well. And then all of the areas and facets of your life and work, I see you also. So again, thank you for your service to our community, for our children, our adults out here as well. Thank you so much. How can people connect with you on social media?
Well, I am Terry Chosen Hall on Facebook, and I am Chosen02 on Instagram.
There it is. Terry, thank you so much for being with us on Sunday Conversation. Be safe and be blessed.
Likewise.
Thank you once again for listening to Sunday Conversations. Be sure to tune in next Sunday, same time, same station, wishing you and your family a blessed Resurrection Easter Sunday. reminding you that social distancing is our best friend, and the shelter-in-place order or the stay-at-home order is our best protection against the coronavirus. Remember, when and if you have to go out into the public, please wear a mask and protect yourself and others. We will get through this together. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Sunday Conversations. Peace and blessings. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, his website, and his radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.